Hey guys, well, welcome back to Tam Talks. It's so awesome. We are here in our studio with a dear friend and someone that I highly respect. And as you guys know, one thing we do here at Tam Talks is we have real and honest conversation. And I've had the opportunity to interview some incredible people and then personally share my story with you as a life coach. But one thing I want to do today is I want to talk about some real stuff going on. I want to talk about what's happening in America. We're going to address the state of America because here we are in June and we are a year, I think, that none of us anticipated, halfway through 2020, COVID-19, the lawlessness of our country, the epidemic of this disease, and a lot of us are confused. And so I sat down with a dear friend, and I want to introduce you now to Joe. Joe, I love you. I love your wife more, but you know.
I do too.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But you know, you and I have been talking a lot, and I just, first of all, want to publicly thank you for the 30 years that you've been in LAPD. 32 you've actually served in the armed forces.
Right, yeah. And active, the rest reserve.
And protected our country. And so I want this to just be a dialogue that we have right now because you have so much insight and knowledge. You are on the lines, obviously, as a police officer, and now I'm getting to hear some of the stories, the military stories that you've shared with me. But let's just talk a little bit. What's going on in our country right now? What are you seeing? And let's dialogue a little bit, and then we can actually just come up with some questions on how we can do something different as American citizens.
Well, it kind of segues into today's incredible sermon by Pastor Phil regarding rebellion.
Yeah.
What you're seeing now in the public. What we're seeing is a confluence of activities that are coming together and stifling free speech. What that I mean by that is if you have a different opinion than they do, they being the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all those groups together, then you are wrong and racist and they want to silence you. If you look at what's going on in college campuses right now, the taking down of statues, the taking down of people's names. Now, granted, there's a lot of people that were racist back in those days, and I understand that, but we can't forget where this country was to be a better country in the future. If we get rid of anything that offends anyone, then we won't have anything left.
Right.
So I see that, and it's disturbing. It's disturbing to me as a law enforcement officer. It's disturbing to me as a military officer. It's disturbing to my family. And it really hurts our standing around the world.
Sure it does.
Because while we're fighting amongst ourselves right now, our enemies are gloating. Mm-hmm. Because they're, and a lot of it, they're causing. Mm-hmm. They're causing this this fake news they implant into Facebook where it just inflames opinion right now, and they're taking advantage of that. And I mean they being China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, they are taking advantage of the situation. Mm-hmm. And so we have two fronts to look at. We mm-hmm. have to look at our external, and we have to look at what possibly could happen internally.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about, we've entitled this The State of America. Here we are. Now, you have been out of the country, obviously served many years, military terms, around the world. What do they think about us? You just addressed that a little bit. When other countries look at America, who do they think we are?
Well, there's still a lot of respect for America, our values, because if you look at anywhere in the world, people are trying to still come here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're still an awesome country.
Yeah,
we've got issues just like anybody else does, but you don't see Americans trying to sneak over a border in any other country to move into. Mm-hmm. People are coming to this country because they believe in our freedoms, and there are people that come here from, I've seen some horrid conditions around the world, and they appreciate the fact that they're in this country.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's lost.
We've forgotten.
With mm-hmm. most Americans. When I was a kid, we had civic classes, learn how to be a good citizen. Mm-hmm. We don't have those anymore. We take for granted everything we have. I read a little meme online. It was somebody would say, we don't need farmers anymore because we could just go to the supermarket and buy our food.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable the ignorance that is out there.
Yeah.
But we're still well-respected around the world. But we have to, you know, fix some of our issues. And granted, there is a lot of issues going on and that we have to fix. So there's some disparities.
Well, let's talk about education, because you just hit on that. And you made a comment about a meme, and I just saw one recently. Actually, my husband did some research on interviewing millennials and asking them, what is the definition of socialism? And the majority of them thought it had to do with social media or social distancing. So there's a lack of education. And we have to be responsible, because we've gotten very comfortable. We haven't, you know, fought back. And I'm going to put it that way, because what happens is most of us feel if we're fighting, it's wrong. But I've said before, there are certain things we have to fight for: our freedom, our faith, our family. I have to fight for those things, and I will fight for those. So let's talk a little bit, because you brought up some great observations when we talked the other day about education and the lack of education today in our school system. Let's talk about that, because, listen, let me just jump on this. There are movements out there saying, let's defund the police, let's defund this, let's just educate. Well, first of all, yes, let's educate, but that's not going to, that will never solve the problem of corruption or crime.
Correct.
It might help. I'm sure it will help. But let's talk about this whole education. What do you think about it?
Well, people need to take a step back and really look at what the benefits of education. For the last 30-something years, maybe 40 years, all these colleges have been pushing degrees. Everybody's pushing a degree. Now, granted, I've gone to colleges like you, and I benefited from that. But looking at some of the degrees that they have in place right now, these kids are coming out of school 4 years later. They're in debt with a worthless degree, where they could have probably gotten a technical trade skill, which would have had them working in the system already and you know, paying their taxes and be good citizens. So when they come out with these degrees that they were sold by these colleges, They're a little frustrated, I understand, because they were under the impression that they get the glossy pamphlet that says, well, if you get this degree, this is the kind of job you'll have. Mm-hmm. And when they finish 4 years later, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Now they're saddled with $150,000 in debt and no way to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So, and then looking at that, what are we teaching on our high schools? We're teaching some classes that really don't benefit these kids. When they get out of high school, they're not prepared. You know, you young adults, even young police officers and soldiers that I've talked to, have no concept of how to manage a checking account.
Yeah.
They have no concept of maintaining good credit. You know, you tell them, hey, what's your FICO score? They don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the important things for them to get a loan, get a car loan, get the things that they need in life to function, they have no clue, because we're not talking about this in school.
Right, right.
We're talking about, calculus, you know, granted, calculus is great, you know, but I haven't had a need for it in my lifetime. So, I mean, it's okay. I mean, math is important.
Yeah.
Science is important. English is important. But some of the other classes that they're taking,
practical things.
It's not
to
practical.
To actually raise up the kind of citizens that we need today, and young people we need today.
Exactly. What do we expect from our young men and women when they, you know, when we have a problem, even in the military, when they take the test to come in, we actually have to sometimes send them back to training, to school, so they can be able to pass the entrance exam for the military.
Wow.
Because they're not prepared at the junior high and high school level. Granted, not even when they go to college, they're not even prepared, because I've taught college classes, and some of the writing and papers that I would receive were horrible. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have an education problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is no doubt there's a breakdown somewhere in the system, and we have to address these things. But I do want to jump into something, because I love the honest conversation part of the TAM Talks. So let's talk a little bit about the whole movement now with Black Lives Matter, police officers, defunding police officers. And, you know, this is everyone that knows me and follows me. I mean, I'm a life coach, and I'm a rah-rah. You can do it. I'm going to get behind you, and I believe in you. But we have to be honest about some things happening in our country right now. So I'm just going to share a moment, and I want to hear your take on this. And I grew up in a home where I had a lot of Black friends. It's just the environment I grew up in. I've socialized. I didn't see color. I'd hear stories, and they would say things to me like, you don't know what it's like, and I would have to understand that, and I really do. I agree with that. And I believe we need to make some changes in our country. I don't think anyone
Absolutely.
Would disagree with that. And I find that right now there is so much dysfunction in trying to understand what this movement is about, that we've lost, whether it be George Floyd, what precipitated all this, or what this is really about. So how do we address Black Lives Matter? And yes, they do. Amen and amen and amen. But White Lives Matter and Brown Lives Matter and People's Lives Matter and Unborn Lives Matter. And what do we do? Because it seems to me like the boulder is rolling down the hill and we can't stop it.
Well, looking at first, the tragedy in Minneapolis was horrible. Now, I don't think any police officer agrees with that use of force, and there was no need for that. But going back to defunding the police, that's something that would be, first of all, it would be really hard for them to even do that. Second of all, who's gonna you know, intervene in some of these chaotic situations where there's use of force? Now, granted, there's a lot of things that need to be changed in this country, but we're, and I'm a Los Angeles police officer, we're getting attacked for stuff that doesn't happen here. Our department represents the city that we live in. It, breakdown is represents. So we are representative of the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah,
we are not, you know, someplace else in this country where it's predominantly a male white department. We're not that. We were that back in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s. But through some strong efforts and some other things, we actually complied with all the consent decrees to make our department reflect the community we serve. That being said, we do a lot of good stuff every single day that we don't get recognition for. We have officers that mentor. We have officers that, you know, that teach you know, young men and women how to, you know, properly behave and how to, you know, help them out in school. And we have sports teams that we run. So we do a lot in the community that we never get
the recognition
that we deserve. I didn't know
that. Yeah.
We have actually, one of my last station, we have officers assigned to the two different housing developments, their projects, and to have these little kids play football against one another. And these individuals, housing developments, have been feuding for years. But when you ask these kids, these young teenage men, why are you fighting with those other guys? They don't have a reason. They don't, because they've been doing it so long, they don't understand why they're still fighting with them. So the choice was to establish these football teams and baseball teams so they can start playing against one another and their parents interact. Now these kids are growing up together. Wow. So now instead of enemies, they're friends.
That's good.
And that's something that our department has done. Now, there is some change that needs to happen in law enforcement, because at the end of the day, we have to serve the people. That's our job. We are not dictators. We're not tyrants. We're not bullies. We have to serve the people that we represent. And I'm totally for that. So I think, in my opinion, that these departments need to take an example from my department and how they need to reflect the communities that they serve.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there more funding to the LAPD than some of these other cities? Or, I mean, I've always heard that the level of police officers have to do with the funding that the city gives toward the departments. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. If you defund the department or don't fund it properly, you can't keep up with it. I mean, training costs money. You know, you have to pay for the education materials, the training environment. Sometimes you have to send them to different locations so they can train. Training is important because you have to consider yourself as a lifelong learner. We just don't go to school and then we stop learning. We learn continuously throughout our life. And sometimes we look at, hey, we've been doing something wrong all these years. Let's make it better. How do we make it better? How do we make our departments better, our communities better? Because I have a stake where I work in Los Angeles, and many police officers throughout Southern California and the United States, we have a stake in these communities. We work there. I spent a lot of time there. I spent half of my life there. So I have lunch in the communities. You know, we stop for buy gasoline. You know, we're part of the fabric. We know people. We go down the street and people still wave at us. Even with all this negativity right now, the great citizens that I work with and I see in LA, you always have that one or two knuckleheads that, you know, they want to give you the middle finger and, you know, that's okay. It's expected. But we have a lot of people say, thank you for what you do. And that That is why I'm there.
Yeah.
That is why we are there, because those people are the ones that truly represent the greater community.
And I love how you address talking a little bit about how you're bringing these kids together and raising them up. And I addressed the whole Black Lives Matter, and I love it. I love the fact that we are loving everyone, that we're really trying to. But that was why I asked you, how do we address this with respect and dignity for all lives? I mean, what do you think, as we're kind of winding up our time together, what can we do? Give us some strategies, some ideas, some resources, how we can work together in our communities with all people.
Well, we have to first understand that there's been some discrepancies in the past. There's been some, we've been in the United States of America in the past, mm-hmm. Has had a bad record regarding racial integration. Yes.
So we have to take responsibility
right,
for that.
But at the end of the day, if you look at the generation now, all these kids have gone to school with one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in a diverse community. All my friends, our church is diverse. Mm-hmm. And so it's not 1960 where we're mm-hmm. separated. It is, you know, the 2020 almost, 2020 and a half. And we still have some issues, and we're always going to have issues. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some person that doesn't like another person. Mm-hmm. And we can't change that one person. Mm-hmm. We can't legislate our way out of that. Mm-hmm. But we have to show, when somebody does something wrong, that we as Americans and humanity is, hey, we agree with you.
Yeah.
We support you 100%. Mm-hmm. And in this, you know, Black Lives Matter is at a crucial time, because they can go and really antagonize everybody, where now they've lost their message. Mm-hmm. These fighting, these destroying the cities, these mm-hmm. looting, all of these things bring negative connotation to mm-hmm. what they are trying to achieve. And yeah. I agree that there's some change that needs to happen, yeah. but they have to remember the Minneapolis Police Department is not the same as the Los Angeles Police Department mm-hmm. or Anaheim Police Department mm-hmm. or Orange Police Department. We have really strong training here in California. Mm-hmm. In fact, our training in for police officers is so rigid that many police departments around the United States come and train in yeah. California because yeah. of our standards. Yeah. We have standards. We hold people accountable, and that's mm-hmm. what we do. Mm-hmm. And we should, because remember, we're being paid for by the taxpayer.
Yeah.
We work for the men and women who pay the taxes. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're there for. But Black Lives Matter, I agree, but all lives have to matter
yeah.
because we all live in this planet.
Yeah.
We can't separate ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to live one another. We have to be cordial, civic. Talk to people. Talk to your neighbors. You know, if you see somebody new moving in, welcome them to the community. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know we get so wound up with our lives because we're so busy, but sometimes we got to stop and say, "Hey, neighbor, how are you doing?"
Yeah,
you know?
That is one thing COVID has done. I think it's made us all slow down a little bit and look at those around us. Well, Joe, you know, it's an honor to have you, and I just am so privileged to know you and thank you. Now, what I want to do in closing out right now is to tell you that Joe is getting ready to leave on 4th of July, and he will be leaving to go serve our country on another location. So he has another tour you're getting ready to do. So as you think of him, pray for him as he's serving our country abroad. I want to thank you and all police officers for what you do. I appreciate the safety that we have in our community. And I do thank God for all lives. And I believe that God wants to do something special in our country. So as we talk about the state of America, I want to leave you with this thought. We are just months away from the election of the president of the United States of America. And I'm going to encourage you to pray about our country. I'm going to encourage you to ask God what your part is. Because voting is a privilege that we have as American citizens. I don't know of any other country, and I've traveled the world, that has the freedom that we have to express our rights and our convictions. So you can't complain if you don't vote.
Absolutely.
So study, pray, open the Word of God, and let God go with you in that ballot booth when you vote. Because the destiny of America depends on it. So I thank you guys for listening. I love you. Thank you, Joe, for your time
thank
and your
you.
Expertise. And we pray for you as you protect our country.
Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks.